What else we got going on? No service next Thursday. You guys know that, right? You Thursday night people, right? Because you know what? If we did it, you would sleep through it anyway. Because you'd be full of turkey and the whole tryptophan thing kicking in and you'd be like... So, anyway, remember there's no service. All right? Oh. What else do we have here? Women's. Okay, thank you. The Women's Conference. You can sign up for that too. Many different ways. So... And you know what? I would not conference, but breakfast. But I would encourage you guys, especially if you're newer to the church or not feeling very plugged in, either go to the men's conference or the women's breakfast. That's a way to get kind of connected and get plugged in. So I would just encourage you to do that. Okay? All right. Are we ready? Ready to hang out with Ahab some more? And that guy's getting on my nerves. So. All right, let's pray. Father, we do once again thank you so much, Lord, that we can gather here. And Lord, we do pray that you would bless this time. And God, I thank you that we have this place where we can come together as brothers and sisters. And Lord, where we can corporately lift up our hearts to you. And Lord, we can... be together like locking arms to serve you and to know you. And so, God, I do pray that as we look at this passage again where we see kind of some really strange stuff going on, that, God, I pray that it would impact our hearts and our lives. And, Lord, that we would be men and women who truly do grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can make a difference in the world when we think of things going on around our world right now and how crazy things get when we think of Paris and we think of what happened in Tel Aviv today and just stuff going on, Lord, that is just mind-boggling. And God, we can become discouraged or we can become world changers. And Lord, I know that you've left us here to change this world. So use your word to equip us and encourage us so that we can impact our world. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you remember last time, we did leave off Ahab just a little bit, switched over to Jehoshaphat and what's going on with him and his ministry. And so we saw him take over for his dad. We saw him do some really good things. You know, this guy's a pretty good king. Not a great king, but a pretty good king. But he's got a couple issues going on that we're going to look at. And listen, the important thing I get from him, especially as we look at tonight, is that, you know what, he's got some weaknesses. And that should let us all know we all have weaknesses. And we need to be aware of our weaknesses and we need to guard ourselves against those weaknesses and make sure that those aren't the things that entrap us and get us. Now, if you remember last time when we looked at Jehoshaphat, I brought up the fact that his son married Ahab's daughter. So there's that kind of alliance going on, and that can be very dangerous when you get those kind of alliances going on. And I believe, listen, here's what I believe, that whole thing, and I don't know if it was Ahab that caused the alliance that brought the daughter to Jehoshaphat's son, or if Jehoshaphat's son went out after the daughter. I'm not sure which direction all of that went, but here's what I know. They're together, and it's going to almost cost Jehoshaphat his life. So we need to think about that when sometimes we trust God and we trust Him this far, and then right when we get to the brink, we begin to take things in our own hand because we think He's not going to come through and we're afraid He's not going to be faithful and we grab a hold of it ourselves. And then here's what I find out when I do that. It's generally a wreck and generally I get in trouble. And that's what I look at with Jehoshaphat, is the way he started so well, made that alliance, and his son Jehoram married Athaliah, and there'll be more of that as we continue on in that study. We'll get kind of closer to those two, because that's a big mess in Judah. So Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, Ahab, king of Israel. Remember we have the civil war? Nod your heads like you're paying attention to me. So, all right, pretend. So we got that civil war, we got that split. So you have two different kingdoms. I believe even maybe this marriage, maybe according to Jehoshaphat, he thought it might bring it together in his own way, but we're going to find out Ahab had another way he thought it could bring it together and he could be over both kingdoms. So having that, look at verses 1 through 3. We looked at 1 and 2 last time, but we'll read them again in 1 Kings 22. It says, now 3 years passed without a war between Syria and Israel. Oh, by the way, 3 years ago, Ben-Hadad had promised, if you go back and look at chapter 20, Ben-Hadad had promised the king of Israel that he would give him certain places, and he hasn't come through yet. So 3 years have gone by. That's a long time to wait. And then it says in verse 2, then it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel, and the king of Israel said to his servants, do you know that Ramoth-Gilead is ours, but we hesitate to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria? So keep your finger there. We're going to come right back, but go to Chronicles. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 18, because it gives us a little bit more detail of what's going on. It's not like a guy just dropped in and they decided to do something. So in 2 Chronicles 18:1, it says, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and by marriage he allied himself with Ahab. That's the thing I talked about. So you can go for homework, you can go to chapter 21. Not while I'm reading. But go there later on, okay? No, don't you guys look over there. So, I'm watching. I'm reading with one eye, watching you with the other eye. So you got that alliance going on, which I don't think is a good thing. Verse 2, after some years, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria. And Ahab, by the way, when they talk going down, when you hear that he went down, what do you think? He went from north to south, right? It's not the case. He went from south to north. But always remember in Israel or Judah, down is always Jerusalem's at the top and everything else is down. When they leave Jerusalem, they're always going down. Even today, they're always going down. So it's kind of, whenever I read this, I think, how could he go down to Samaria when Samaria was north of Jerusalem? We would say up, right? Wouldn't we? Okay, all right. I thought maybe it's just me. So going down means he went from Jerusalem. And then it says, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen in abundance for him and the people who were with him and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. So you kind of have the idea of what's going on, right? There's a big feast that happened. They didn't just like come together. This was kind of a planned thing. And here's what I think. Ahab is relying on his daughter's in-laws, right, to come and help him out of a bind. He got the alliance. Now he's saying, hey, come down here. Let's kill the fatted calf. Let's talk a little bit. And now I really need you to go up with me and go with me against and conquer Ramoth-Gilead to go against the Syrians, Ben-Hadad. I need some help. I can't do it by myself. So you have these two pretty big armies coming together And then verse 3 says, so Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me against Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered and said to him, I am as you are, my people as your people, we will be with you in the war. Bummer. Big bummer. Number one, just for Jehoshaphat to say that, the most godless king in all of Israel's history is Ahab. One of the most godly kings in all of Judah's history is Jehoshaphat. You got two men coming together who are polar opposites, very extreme, and you have Jehoshaphat saying, I am as you are. Maybe he's trying to be relevant. Maybe he's trying to relate to him. You know, often I hear that in ministry a whole bunch. You need to be relevant, which I think we need to be relevant, but, you know, some people overuse that. Obviously, we're living in 2015. We need to not be living in, 1960, right? Nod your heads. I can't get some people out of that era, but listen, and there is something to be said about that. I do believe that. But you can't relate to people to such a degree that no one can tell the difference between you and them. And that can go just, you know, in a lot of ways, but especially in Christianity. Listen, I do think we need to be relational. And I do think we need to relate to people. And I do think we need to be men and women who people can connect with and understand and not be so different that there's like this thing that they don't even want to get close to us. Having said that, be careful. Because you can relate yourself right out of who you really are. And that's where we need to be careful. And I hear Jehoshaphat say that, and that's scary to me. And you know, I have to be honest. I hear people say things in today, Christian leaders, that they scare me. Frankly, they scare me when they say them. I hear people within our movement of Calvary Chapel saying things. I'm thinking, I don't think you really mean what you just said. I don't think those words mean what you think they mean, because you're scaring me really bad. And all of it has to do with, we got to be relational. We got to connect. We got to get with people. I'm a firm believer of this. God's word is timeless. And if we teach God's word, it will reach every generation. We need to open it up. And we need to get it to the generation. And we need to trust the Holy Spirit to put it there. Now, do we use some things that are relational? Absolutely. We're using video now, right? We're using a lot of different things that are available. Some of us are even using some electronic things. Shock, shock. You know, that we're kind of outside of that. And I get that, but man, we got to watch out. Here's what he's saying. I'm just like you, and you're just like me. I want to be like you. I want to relate to you, Ahab. I want to be with you. We're going to be brothers in this situation. And I'm thinking, why doesn't somebody slap him? Right? Come on, what are you doing? You know, you're Jehoshaphat. So go back to Kings. Go back to Kings. And he kind of says, you know, the same thing in 3 and 4 of Kings. He ends up with, you know, I am as you are, and your people as my people in verse 4, and my horses are as your horses. In other words, let's completely combine, and let's do this thing together so no one can tell us apart. Keep that in mind. We're going to get to it a little. We're going to come back to this whole thing of relating to others and how we can relate ourselves right outside of ourselves and not be ourselves anymore. So kind of keep that in mind. And then he says, listen, and then this cracks me up. So before you read verse 5, think about this. What has he just done? He's just committed himself to war, right? Will you go to war with me against the Syrians to get Ramoth-Gilead? What did he just say? I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. He just made the commitment, right? Now check out what he does, because he's so spiritual. Look at what he does, verse 5. Also, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. Really, dude? Like, he just made the commitment. Here's the thing. I read this, and this is what a lot of us do. We decide what we're going to do, and then we ask God to bless it. And so we get all spiritual. Well, I'm going to pray and ask God. You already made up your mind. What are you asking him? You asking him to put his hand on it? You asking him to okay it? What if he said no? Would you change? No, he's not going to say no. I'm me. He never says no to me. He says no to you, but not to me. I'm thinking, why isn't this not reversed? Why is it when he said, will you go to war with me against Syria? Why didn't he say, let's ask God if we should go to war, then we'll discuss it. But he makes a commitment, and then just to make sure that we keep our spiritual part about us. Oh, by the way, Ahab, can we talk to the Lord about this? So Ahab, this is where it gets really, really crazy. So Ahab, verse 6, then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, here's an interesting thing. Isn't it interesting that 400 prophets of Baal have already died? Well, 200, right? That 400, 200 died, and then I think he killed the other 200, so I think 400 died. And now he's still got 400 false prophets. He's got 400 prophets hanging out, still around the palace. And he says, let me get my prophets together. And it's always interesting. Listen, if a king has his prophets, that's not good, right? Nod your heads. They're my prophets. They're not prophets from God. They're my prophets, right? So let me ask my prophets, shall I go against, in the middle of verse 6, Ramoth-Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. So here's all, now let's get a picture of this. 400, right? They're all in unity. They're together, man. They're hanging out. 400 of them are saying, yes, go to war. Unity's not always the best thing, right? And the majority's not always the best thing. We live in a society and in a country where democracy is very important to us. And as Christians, sometimes we try to bring it heavily into our walk with the Lord and into Christianity. You know, with God, you don't get a vote. Do you know that? You don't. And you know what? The majority's not always right. As a matter of fact, the majority can be dead wrong. And the majority can get you into some serious trouble. And don't, you know, sometimes, listen, sometimes you got to separate yourself from your culture and from your, you know, even your political ideology that you have going on, and you got to get yourself into the Lord. Listen, 400 of them said, yes, go. Listen to what Jehoshaphat says. It's 7, and Jehoshaphat said to him, is there not still a prophet of the Lord? Here's an interesting thing, isn't it? Now, listen, they used a different word. They said, yes, the Lord or Adonai, the Lord shall go up and will deliver you. And then Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of Yahweh? Here's the thing that blows my mind. Jehoshaphat had discernment that those were false prophets. Isn't that interesting? You and I, listen, you and I should pray for that kind of discernment, shouldn't we? We should pray that we would have discernment when somebody says they're speaking for the Lord and they're not speaking for the Lord. We should have discernment. How do we get that kind of discernment? Well, some of us get very judgmental, and that's not good. But listen, you should have discernment, number one, by praying and asking and seeking the Lord and your relationship with the Lord. Number two, it should be according to your knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, and that will give you discernment. And then lastly, I think it will be according to your fellowshipping with others, and group-wise you can have some discernment, and people coming around you and giving you, you know, the strength to at times understand and get that discernment. So you kind of get what's going on. Jehoshaphat, now this is heavy. He's standing by himself and he tells Ahab, dude, don't you have anybody that's really speaking for God? Because these guys are a bunch of clowns. Okay, we can kind of tell. We can kind of tell they're on the payroll. So don't you have anybody? Don't you have anybody here that we can inquire of him? And once again, I'm thinking, what are you so concerned about? You already made the commitment. You already said you're going to war. Why do you really want to hear from God? So the king of Israel, this is my favorite thing, verse 8. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there's one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, and he says, by him we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Isn't that great, man? At least he's honest, right? At least Ahab's honest. I hate him. I can't stand that guy. He says, listen, I don't like him. I'm not going to call him. I hate him. He goes, why? Because he does not prophesy good things concerning me, but evil. He goes, I don't like him because this guy says evil. Listen carefully. Sometimes it's good to have enemies, isn't it? Listen, Micaiah had an enemy, the king, the leader of the country, hated him. And I hear some people say, you know, we should live in such a way where everybody loves us. I kind of get what they're saying, but you got to understand, if you're standing for God and you're going to stand with God, you're going to make some enemies along the way. You're going to have some people that are disappointed in you and not want to hang out with you. And I kind of think, I hate him. I hate him. I don't like that guy. Now, kind of, here's what I'm thinking. Okay, Jehoshaphat, here's where I want to interfere. I want to get involved now. I want to jump in my Bible and kind of help some people out, right? And I'm thinking, Jehoshaphat, now is the time to go, right? Now is the time to say, you know what? I did say my people is your people, but your people aren't my people, and I'm not with you because you know what? You don't want to hear from God. You don't want to understand. You don't even want to follow God. I'm going back to Judah. You know, I'm not going to do this. So. But he doesn't do that. So listen, at the end there of verse 8, he says, listen, he always speaks evil of me. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king, he goes, you shouldn't say that, bro. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Why doesn't he say, why are you listening to 400 clowns when you got a real guy talking for the Lord and you're like putting all your faith in them and you're not listening to the real guy and you're saying he's evil and he's the one that's hearing from God? He goes, that's not a nice thing to say. Don't you love it? So verse 9, then the king of Israel called an official and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly. So listen, he's kind of given in, isn't he? He says, go get Micaiah and go bring him and let's hear what he has to say, because it's just going to be for fun anyway, right? Because we're really not going to listen to him. So the guy goes away. This is where it gets kind of fun. Then the king, verse 10, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes, sat on his throne at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and the prophets prophesied before them. So check out what's going on. This is what Micaiah is walking into. You got both the kings decked out. They got their stuff on, right? They got the bling on. And they're sitting on their nice thrones. They're making sure everybody knows they're the ones in charge. They got it together. And I imagine they were pretty tricked out, wouldn't you think? If you're putting it on, you want everybody to know you're a king. And you got all these prophets prophesying to you and saying things and telling you, bottom line, how great you are and what a good king you are and how wonderful you are and what a great leader you are and on and on and on. I was going to say something, but I won't go there. But listen, it's going on and on. And so you got all of that. Now you're Micaiah. You're going to walk into this. Oh, you have one more. Check out Zedekiah. It says, verse 11, now Zedekiah, the son of Kenana, had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. So you got the 400 guys doing stuff. Now you got this other guy, he put on horns on his head, and he's running around like he's goring something. Oh boy. When I read this, I think of the time I was in India and a monkey came in. Not a monkey, but a guy in a monkey suit. The guy came in a monkey suit, and he was a god. We were in a shop, and this god came in. And it's just a guy in a monkey suit is all it is. Guy dressed up like a mascot. And he's jumping around, acting crazy. And the store owner told us, you have to give him money. And I go, what do you have to give him money for? He goes, because he's a god. I go, no, he's a man in a monkey suit. I'm not giving that man in a monkey suit nothing. He's not. And I read this guy with horns, and I'm thinking kind of the same thing. He's a guy running around being silly, right? Come on. And isn't it amazing how that impresses some people? And they get drawn into that, and they think it's spiritual. And they think, this is what it's all about. There's something really happening here today. Yeah, there's a guy acting foolish. There's a bunch of people walking around saying God said when God didn't say. And listen, when somebody comes to us and says God said, what are we supposed to do? That's one thing that, you know, kind of sometimes disturbs me when people come up and say, you know, God told me to tell you this. Really? Okay, thank you. I mean, what am I going to say, right? And so these guys are going around saying, here's what God said. And you got Zedekiah being kind of crazy. You got the guys in their robes, and now you're Micaiah, the prophet, and you're going to walk in on all of that? It'd be kind of tough, wouldn't it? It'd be kind of hard. The guy goes and gets him. Check it out. It says, verse 12, and all the prophets prophesied so saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver you into the king's hand. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, Now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. So here's what he's saying. Listen carefully, Micaiah. All the other prophets agree. They're all in unity. And if you're really smart, what does he say? They all said the same thing. So please, at the end of verse 13, let your word be like the word of them and speak encouragement. Here's what he's saying. If you know what's good for you, when you go out there, you're going to go along with everybody else. Because 400 men, well, maybe 401 counting the horn guy, are all telling the king to go for it. So here's what I would encourage you to do, Micaiah. When you get out there, here's what you need to do. You need to just go along with them. You know you need to say the right thing. You know you need to do the right thing. Now think about, listen, we're all saying, no, I wouldn't do that. Really? Really? I think we give in to a lot less peer pressure than that. I know at times I do. There's peer pressure around me, and I kind of, at times, cave because of peer pressure. And it's not nearly in as tense of a situation or as dramatic as this. 400 people saying one thing, and you're going to say something different? So he says, why don't you just go along with him? Now you got a guy who's in leadership, a guy who's in charge, kind of encouraging you. Just go along with him. Just say the right thing. You can do it. And verse 14, then Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Would to God that would be our heart, right? Whatever the Lord says, that's what I'm going to say. I'm not going to water down the gospel. I'm not going to change the gospel. I'm not going to change a word. I'm not going to try and fix the word. I'm not going to apologize for the word. I'm just going to give the word. I love this guy. So then, I really love him because what he does next. Verse 15, then he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall we refrain? And he answered him and said, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. Don't you love this guy? That was with great sarcasm. You can't read it in there. He was a very sarcastic. He comes out and he goes, go. That's what all these guys are saying. Go to war. Of course God's going to deliver him into your hand. And he's kind of being smart aleck. I love this prophet. I kind of love his whole attitude. He just comes out and he kind of just, sure, whatever, just go do it, man. You got all these guys. Why should I say anything different? I'll go along with him and listen. Then it's crazy. And then the king said to him, verse 16, how many times shall I make you swear that you will tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? He got it. He got the sarcasm. Now, here's what's kind of ironic. You're Ahab. You hate this guy. Why do you hate this guy? Because he always tells me things I don't want to hear. Then he comes and tells you what you want to hear. And what do you tell him? Stop lying to me. How many times do I have to tell you, I just want to hear what God wants to hear? No, you don't want to hear what God wants to hear. But he's telling him, just stop, right? Just stop with the sarcasm. And I think, you know, I think there had to be a little bit of a show going on with this. I think with Micaiah. And he goes, listen, just stop. So Micaiah says, okay, you know, he says, I'm going to give you what the Lord said. In verse 17, then he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains. As sheep, they have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his own house in peace. You kind of get what he's saying? There's no leader left in Israel. Here's what he's saying. You go and fight, you're going to die. If you go, they're not going to have a king anymore. And then he says, and the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you he would not prophesy good things to me but evil? Didn't I tell you that's what he's going to say? And so here's what Micaiah says. If you go, you're going to die. You're not going to have victory. Jehoshaphat's standing there, or sitting there on his throne. Kind of get the whole picture, right? You get everything going on. You're going to die today, Ahab. It's not good. You do not want to go to war today. You're going to die. And then he turns to Jehoshaphat. See, I don't like this guy. That's the kind of stuff he tells me. That's the kind of stuff he does to me. I don't like him. That's why I hate him. He's not done. He's kind of, you know what? I think something just has been bugging him. So verse 19, then Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. Here's what he's saying. I got to let you in on the whole truth. You see, you have some clowns who work for you, and you need to know that they're not telling you the truth. So he says, listen, I'm not done. You got to hear the rest because the Lord wants you to know this. He says, listen, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left. So you kind of get the picture. This Micaiah sees this whole scene in heaven and all of this angelic activity all around the throne of God. Kind of a cool scene, right? You kind of get, man, that would be a cool picture to just get a glimpse into that world, right? And he says, I saw all that going on. And he says, and the Lord said in verse 20, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he might fall at Ramoth-Gilead? Now, this is kind of interesting. As I'm listening to this, I'm thinking, you know, there's some things you might want to pick up on here, king. And here's what he's saying. Who's going to persuade Ahab to go up so that he can die today? Who's going to do that? Now, we got to be careful that we don't get judgmental on God here, because God is only giving Ahab what Ahab wants. And remember that. So he's saying, who's going to do that? And then he says, so one spoke in this manner and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I'll persuade him. It's kind of weird, isn't it? I got it. I know how to do it. Really? And he says, the Lord said to him, how are you going to do it? In what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And the Lord said, you can persuade him with that. Go and prevail. Go out and do so. So here's what the Lord said. Yep, that's going to work. Now, here's what's interesting. Number one, I think it's interesting that, you know, these angelic beings going, we got this covered. This is not a problem. But it is kind of scary when you think about they're having a conversation with the Lord, and the Lord doesn't say, no, you don't want to do that. It's interesting that he releases them to do that, isn't it? I find it interesting. And some people go, well, but then God caused that to happen. No, God did not cause that to happen. He allowed the lie to come and see what Ahab still had a choice. He didn't have to go with the lie. He didn't have to follow that. It was all up to him to believe it or not. So this spirit, he says, go and do it. And then listen, now think about what you just said in front of 401 prophets. You just insulted them. Here's what you just said. They're a bunch of liars, right? That's kind of heavy. You're Micaiah, you're all alone. The king doesn't like you, the prophets don't like you, the guy who brought you doesn't like you. There's nobody that likes you. So you just said, okay, you know what, none of you like me, I'll just light the fuse. I'll just let it happen. You're a bunch of liars. You guys, all liars. So he got slapped. Verse 23, therefore look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. Now Zedekiah the son of Kenaanah went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way did the spirit from the Lord go from me to speak to you? Now there's a little throwdown going on, right? Zedekiah was pretty torqued. I don't know what the others felt, but Zedekiah comes and slaps him. And so Micaiah said, indeed, you shall see on that day when you go into the inner chamber to hide. You might mark that down because we're going to read about that in a few weeks. He says, just remember what I said when you're hiding in the inner chamber, when you're scared because they're going to come and kill you. And then the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and water of affliction until I come in peace. So here's what he's saying. You guys put him in prison till I get back. Listen to what Micaiah said. But Micaiah said, if you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, take heed, all you people. Here's what he's saying. Dude, you are not coming back. Once again, let's take a little pause. Would you go? Would you still go? Especially if you're Jehoshaphat, would you still go? Jehoshaphat's watching this whole thing. He's the guy that he's been following the Lord. Remember, he found the book. He's reading from the book. He's understanding God, and he's understanding who God is. And yet, he's watching this whole drama unfold in front of him. And what kind of a decision do you make? Once again, man, peer pressure's hard, isn't it? Come on. It's tough when you got all kinds of pressure coming against you. You got to conform. You got to do things. And then especially if you're a person who you're really trying to relate. Hey, I could reach them if I can just get closer to them. I could really let them know if I can really relate. Listen, I gave my son to his daughter and married so we could be closer and I could build up the kingdom. And now if I just go to war with him, think how close we could be. And maybe we can repair this big breach that's between Israel and Judah. Maybe all I have to do is relate to him. Do you cut and run? Man, he should cut and run, I'm thinking. Dude, this is not good. there's going to be a bad, bad battle going on. Someone's going to die today. So then, check this out. This is like my favorite part. Verse 29, so the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Seriously, dude? Are you like reading this? Hey, Jehoshaphat, you make sure everybody knows you're a king, and I'll disguise myself. And then we'll go to war. I'm thinking, what did you eat for breakfast this morning? That you're like falling for that thing. That is the bit. And he just goes, okay. I read that and I go, seriously? This has got to be like something happened to this guy. Something short-circuited. Something he didn't wake up or something. I don't know what's going on. When you got this guy who's the most ungodly king ever telling you, put on your robes. What do you think Ahab's up to? Do you think Ahab is really kind of secretly hoping Jehoshaphat will get killed? You see, if Jehoshaphat dies, here's the cool thing. Listen, not a bad plan. If we go to war, Jehoshaphat dies in war, then his son, Jehoram, takes over. His son's married to Athaliah. Athaliah's my baby girl. I bet you Athaliah still called Ahab daddy. And if he dies, and Jehoram is kind of young and inexperienced, I could go down there and I could tell my baby girl to talk to her husband and let's bring the kingdom all back together under Ahab. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? If you're Ahab, sounds okay. So Jehoshaphat, why don't you just wear your robes out there? We're going to go to war. Why don't you just wear your robes? Because we know a king is going to die today. Why do we know a king is going to die today? Because that's what the prophet said. The prophet said a king is going to die. He said, which king? And here's the crazy thing. Here's what you need to know. Doesn't matter who you are. Check this out. You can't run and hide from God. And listen, if God is coming for you, he's going to get you. And if God is going to protect you, he's going to protect you. You need to know that. Because I think this is interesting. So he puts on regular army. They go to battle. Are you ready for the battle? This is interesting. Now, verse 31, the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, had commanded the 32 captains of his chariot, saying, fight with no one small or great, but only the king of Israel. Here was the one command to the army. Go and kill the king of Israel. That's all we want to do. So when you're looking for the king, do you go up and check his king card to see who he's king of? You're just going to kill the first king you see, right? Any king will do, right? So go kill the king. I'm thinking, that's kind of too bad. Too bad Jehoshaphat didn't have a little better intel and he knew what was going on, right? So go kill the king of Israel. So it was when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat that they said, surely this is the king of Israel. Therefore, they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. And it happened when the captains of the chariot saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. Here's the thing, man. If God is going to protect you, you know what? He's going to protect you. You can be the dumbest person in the world. You can fall for the stupidest trick in the book. And you can put on your king robes and let the other guy not put his on. And you can go out there and they're going to kill you. And they come and what does it say? He cried out. Go to Chronicles. Keep your finger here because it's so good. Go to 1 Chronicles 18:31. Check it out because he doesn't just cry out. He doesn't go, hey, I'm the king of Judah, not the king of Israel. Listen what it says. Verse 31. In chapter 18 of 2 Chronicles, so it was when the captain of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore, they surrounded him to attack him. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God delivered him from them. Is that cool? Listen, I read that, and here's what I think. You can be dumb. You can make bad decisions. You can blow it. And God is still going to take care of you if that's his plan for you. How great that is, man. They're ready, man. I look at them as they're loaded and ready to kill him. And then all of a sudden, oh, wrong king. How did they know it was the wrong king? I don't think he's like screaming, Judah, Judah, go Judah. You know, I think he's just like, don't kill me. Now, let's go back. Let's go back and watch the other guy get killed. Because this is kind of cool when this happens, because here's what this tells me. Doesn't matter what kind of disguises you do. Doesn't matter what's going on. Check this out. So it says, verse 34, now a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. Here's what happens, man. There's just some guy there, and some guy went, phew, and shoo. Right in. Was it because his armor wasn't good that he got shot? It's because God sent a guided missile, right? It's right there. I mean, it goes between the joints of your armor. How often does that happen? You know, you got this really great stuff right there, right in the right spot, and it hits him. And I kind of like the guy just went, choo! You know, it wasn't like he aimed at anybody. He just let go. You wonder why he did that, don't you? I'd like to talk to that guy. So, like, what were you thinking when you did that? Were you thinking you might hit somebody? Were you thinking you'd get a big score? What were you thinking, just shooting at random? So he hit him. So he said, in the middle of verse 34, he said to his armor bearer, ouch, the driver of the chariot, he said, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded. Yeah, you know what, dude, you're going to die. I did read ahead, but I already knew he was going to die because Micaiah said he was going to die. You're going to die. Today you're going to die. I'll put on the armor. I'll trick everybody. I can fool God. Can't fool God. You can disguise yourself. You can put on the best disguise ever. And God still knows who you are. And God still knows where you are. So he turns around. Verse 35, it gets gross right here. The battle increased that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians, and he died at evening. And the blood ran out from his wound onto the floor of the chariot. Then, as the sun was going down, a shout went throughout the army, saying, every man to his city, and every man to his own country. Huh. Verse 36 sounds an awful lot like verse 17. All the people of Israel will have no master. They'll have no shepherd. They won't know where to go. Wow. Think Micaiah was sent from God? Think so. Just think in all of this, if they just would have listened, there would be no chapter 29 through 39 or 41 or wherever we're going to go tonight. There'd be no more of that. So every man went to his own country. Verse 37, so the king died and was brought back to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. Then someone washed the chariot at the pool of Samaria. Oh, listen to this. And the dogs licked up his blood while the harlots bathed, according to the word of the Lord which he had spoken. Do you remember, that prophet, that guy, that other prophet that he didn't like? You troubler of Israel. Remember Ahab called Elijah, you troubler of Israel. Remember what Elijah told him? Dude, you're in trouble. And the dogs are going to lick up your blood. Man, should listen to men of God, I think, huh? Should listen to the word of God. Listen, in our generation, to me, that translates to we listen to the word of God. And we let the word of God impact our lives. We let the word of God change our lives. We trust and we believe what God says. Even when it's hard, even when it's difficult. So the dogs lick it up. Oh, and then it says, verse 39, this is not good. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did, and the ivory house which he had built. He built a house out of ivory. How cool would that be? That'd be a pretty nice place, right? That would be a nice place to go home to, man. That would be some kind of crib to hang out in, right? You got all ivory. It's all out of ivory. He didn't get to stay there. Listen carefully. That kind of stuff you don't get to take with you. When you go, it's gone, right? So he's gone. No ivory house. And all of the cities that he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Ahab rested with his fathers. Then Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his place. We're going to read that again in a bit. But before we're not going to finish this chapter because it's too good. We got to leave a little suspense. So go back to Chronicles 18 because we got to catch up. We got to kind of figure out what on earth happened to the other guy, right? Jehoshaphat. So it tells us, go down to, we did 31, 33. Well, do 33. We can kind of read this again. Because listen how short it is in Chronicles. Go to 33. Well, go to 32. No, go to 33. 32, we just, so 33, listen. Now a certain man drew a bow at random, and he struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor, and so he said to his driver, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I'm wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up in his chariot facing the Syrians until evening, and about the time of sunset, he died. Then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem. Does that sort of blow your mind? Who is dressed as a king? Jehoshaphat. Where is he? He's home. He's in his palace. Where's Ahab? Dead. Verse 2, this is not good. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him. You know, when a seer comes, it's kind of a, you know, if I read in my Old Testament, those seers show up, you're about to get chewed out. You know, it's kind of like when you got busted in school, you had to go to the principal's office. I hated going to the principal's office. I knew it well. Just always, man, you got to sit there and you got to go through that. And you knew, here's what you knew. It was never going to be good for you. You know, like I never, ever went in that office thinking, this is going to be a good day. So you have, listen, you have the seer showing up and he comes out and he went out to meet him and he said to King Jehoshaphat, verse 2, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Wow. Man, that's kind of a heavy rebuke, right? Think about it. Think about it, Christian. It's kind of intense. Especially when we live in a culture and in a time where we're supposed to be inclusive and where we're supposed to be living in such a way that we just get along with everybody. Don't make any waves. Don't do those things. Here's what he's saying, Jehoshaphat, what on earth are you doing hanging out with somebody who hates God? What are you thinking? Why would you do that? Now, listen, I think I got to explain something. I think we should be around people who hate God because we're the only ones that are going to tell them about God. But we don't make alliances with them. We don't try and relate to them so much that we become them, and the people in the battle can't tell us apart from them till we scream out and say, whoa, I'm a Christian, don't shoot me. You see, the people in the battle thought he was one of them. Why? Because he was so relational to them. And here's what God says to him, dude, what are you doing? Jehoshaphat, really? You should help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. You never get away with those little things. You know, it's kind of like you escape out of that battle, you escape with your life, you escape that one thing that you're going through, and you finally squeeze out the other side, and you think you made it, and God goes, oh, no, 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 no. There's going to be consequences for that. Oh, but Lord, don't you forgive me? I absolutely forgive you. But there's going to be consequences. You make decisions. Have you ever noticed we make decisions, there's consequences to our decisions? And so, hey, now you're going to deal with some stuff. And he says, nevertheless, listen, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Verse 3, nevertheless, good things are found in you in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God. So Jehoshaphat, you kind of blew it really bad here and there's going to be consequences. But, and here's what God knows. But I know that you really love me. How do I know it? Because you took a stand, you wiped out some things, man, and your heart is set on following me. You just make some bad decisions, bro. So a couple things. Number one, I think we should make less bad decisions, don't you? Because of the consequences. But number two, here's what we need to know, man. When we make a bad decision, we're going to have consequences, but that doesn't mean God's done with us. Doesn't mean that God is going to bail on us. Doesn't mean that God is going to give up on us. God never gives up on us. And he's going to pull us out of that. And yeah, we're going to have some consequences, but he's going to be right there. Why? Because he knows that we've committed our lives to him and we care about him. And that's the good news, right? So the bad news is this was a funky time. Why on earth did you do these things? You know, again, part of me, don't you wish you could travel back to Bible times, have that little zzz and go back and kind of say, why? I read the rest of this. It's not good for you, man. You should not do that right now. And listen, as I do that, here's what I think. Then, Pat, why do you do the things you do? Why do you make the decisions you make? You got all of this revelation from God, and you make worser decisions than Jehoshaphat. Why do you do that? Well, because I'm not thinking. Because I let myself get caught up in myself. And at times I do try and be relational. At times I do want to reach out and I do want to grab a hold of people and I want to be there. So I want to be more like them. And as I become more like them, then is when I usually make a really bad decision. So let's be careful, huh? Now, for the gospel tonight, here's the thing. For the gospel, man, you need to give your heart to Jesus, because if you don't, he's going to seek you out and he's going to shoot you with an arrow. No, that's not what's going to happen. But it is kind of interesting, isn't it? Here's the thing, man. This is a perfect picture. You want to be Ahab, dying in a chariot, propped up, bleeding to death? Or you want to be Jehoshaphat and go back, get spanked, but then say, you know what? I know you love me, and you're going to be okay. So tonight, listen, tonight, I think it's, again, a no-brainer, isn't it? As we read our Bibles, it's kind of not difficult. I think following Jesus is the right decision, the best decision we could ever make. So we're, again, tonight going to give you an opportunity here in just a minute. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we do thank you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenge of your word. And God, I do pray that you would take our lives and you would cause us to, Lord, cause us to be men and women who are obedient to your word. And Lord, we don't have to have Micaiah. We don't have to have a prophet come and tell us we've got it in front of us. We've actually got it written down so we can read it over and over and over and over and over again. And I pray that tonight you would give us faith to follow that. And you would encourage us in our relationship with you. And God, most of all, when the peer pressure comes, when the multitude is around us, when it seems like the majority, everybody is in unison and unity, going one direction, and we know that your word is telling us to go in another direction. Oh God, give us faith and give us strength to follow you. And Lord, let us be world changers. Let us make a difference in our generation, in our culture, and then in throughout the entire world, that they may know that our God lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.